This episode of The Girlfriend Bracket is brought to you by Gathering Magic and CoolStuffInc.com. With free shipping on orders of $100 or more, a 25% buy list bonus, and their ever-popular customer rewards program, CoolStuffInc is the store for all of your Magic the Gathering needs. Hello, hello, hello. This is episode number 92 of The Girlfriend Bracket. My name is Erin.
I'm Hallie.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
How hype are you all for Amonkhet?
So hype.
Oh, yes.
Oh my God. They just released some art from the new set today, along with some of the packaging from Modern Masters 2017. And I can sum up my excitement with just one word, mummies.
Mm-hmm.
Mummies. They posted an image of Liliana where she looks like she's being fed grapes almost in an Egyptian-like setting, and she's being fanned by somebody, and they kind of zeroed in on her face, and the picture itself was really badass. And then on Twitter earlier today, they leaked the entire photo, the entire piece of art, and you see that the people fawning over her are mummies.
What?
Yeah. Oh yeah, mummies are happening. I'm so hype.
That's awesome.
But what about those giant people with the animal heads?
The gods?
Because I'm excited about that.
Yeah, yes. I like those too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they do gods this time around, because I've heard some mixed feedback as to the thing. I know Chaz Andres, he's the finance guy from Star City Games, he had tweeted something to the effect that Wizards has said in hindsight that they thought the gods from Theros were too underpowered. And so he felt that they were going to be really pushed this time around, and they look badass, so I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I'm super hype about that.
When I first saw the cat looking lady with like the gold mask, I thought it was Elsbeth returned at first. Like I saw the outfit and I was like, oh, Elsbeth is back. Oh my God. I couldn't contain myself. And then they told me that no, that's not the case.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Elsbeth to come back too, Erin. It's not just you. Don't worry.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you. I want the gold mask and the whole shebang, and I just love undead things. So,
yeah. And speaking of Elsbeth and Elsbeth lookalikes, Christine Sprinkle has already said that she's going to cosplay one of those either cat or dog people, and it looks I am so hyped for that.
She was working on a collar, and she's been going through some things in her personal life, and I just found it so interesting that she was able to. Even after everything she's going through, she still found time to, like, make this stuff. Like, you know, if that were me, I would be completely just down for the count. But she's like, you know what? There is cosplay to make. There are costumes to stitch. And damn it, that's what I'm going to do. And God bless her. They also mentioned Full Art Basics are coming back.
Yes.
And they are gorgeous. Gorgeous.
I need them all.
Yeah. The one thing in common is you can see the bolus horns from wherever you are, apparently.
Yeah.
Which is really, really dope. But they also implied that they're going to be a little more uncommon. I think they said one out of every four boosters.
I really like that idea just because, like, I feel like you don't want to give them away just all the time, kind of how we did in the last Zendikar, because you don't want them to become, like, not special. So I kind of like the one in four pack because it's still enough where you can get them and they'll be worth, like, a couple bucks, but not so hard to get that, you know, you'll have to, like, scrounge for them all the time.
Well, it also, you know, the last time around it created issues with fat pack availability where like people were buying out the Battle for Zendikar fat packs and people couldn't find them anymore because they were doing it solely just for the lands. And I know that created some issues with stores not having enough, and then there being some complaints about that. So this seems like Wizards learned from that and that they're trying to, you know, kind of make everybody happy and still make them available, but not you know, they want it so everybody can have them.
Yep. Yeah. For sure.
So we have a very special guest tonight. We are all fans of hers, as we are everybody that we have on the show. She is a sweet and sassy streamer from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who you can find streaming Magic the Gathering just about every day. She's so funny. She's Jamie Topples. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we adore you. I think you're so entertaining and so funny.
Aww.
So for those who don't know who you are, we're just going to ask you some questions just to get to know you a little bit better. I have to ask first off, how are you going to name like Jamie Topples?
Okay, so Topples is because I'm super clumsy, like really, really, really clumsy. it's bad. But everyone always thinks it's topless, so I get that all the time. They'll come in and they'll be like, you're not topless. I'm like, guys, this is Twitch. Come on. So, and also I like to think that Topplegeist is my spirit animal because he's just so ornery. You know, he goes up to the candle and just like goes boop. And that's me.
Although if you were the Topplegeist, though, if you're clumsy, you'd probably knock it over. Like, you would think you're being subtle and you'd go to like lean over to put out the flame and then crash. Just...
Yeah, probably.
I had to laugh about the, I was looking at your Twitch profile the other day and I noticed the caveat where you said it's topples, not topless. And I laughed so hard.
I just get it so much. And I'm like, oh, guys, can you not read?
That's like, we've been joking about, and we're going to talk a lot about streaming and how to be a better streamer later. But that's like, we were joking about how people are so anal about the heading of your stream matching. And like, so God forbid, like, let's say your title says Streaming Legacy. And like, let's say you do something in between rounds. People will, God forbid, it's like, excuse me, this is a standard Amonkhet deck. This isn't a legacy. What is this? And so you'd think that they don't read necessarily. It's really hit or miss with Twitch sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
So how did you get started playing Magic? Because your story is so funny. We've talked about it on the show before.
Yeah. Well, so I like to say I fought it every step of the way, honestly. So my husband bought me a Clash pack for Christmas and he was so excited. He didn't even wait for it to come to the house. He ordered it from Amazon and he's like, oh, I have to show you what I got you. I was like, okay. So he shows me on Amazon and I literally started crying. Like, no joke. Cause I was in massage therapy school at the time and I was taking anatomy and I was just like really overwhelmed. I was like, I don't want to learn anything new. And we got in a huge fight over it, actually, which is funny because we never fight. So he's like, come on, man, why did you do this to me? Like, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm a bad wife. But it all worked out. I finally talked him into like actually buying it for me because he like canceled the order. Because, you know, when someone cries at you and says no, they're inclined to say, OK. But yeah, I was like, OK, let's do it. So and I loved it. Yeah. We played at our kitchen table for a while. And then he's like, let's go to F&M. I'm like, no, I don't want to go to F&M. That sounds terrible. I don't know what I'm doing. And then so he talked me into it. We did a draft. I fell in love. Then I made him go every single week. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, but I was like, no, I'll never watch videos or anything like that online. And I'll never stream or anything like that. Yeah. So here I am streaming, I don't know, like 30 hours a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1,400 followers on Twitch. You're a big deal.
Oh. Hopefully one day. But yeah, I'm growing for sure. It's been great.
So what made you decide to focus on streaming and to sort of have that be your form of content creation?
Well, so I'm actually pretty shy, which is kind of crazy because people can't tell when I'm streaming, right? Cause
yeah.
I don't feel like I'm talking to people when I'm streaming.
Mm.
Like, I mean, there's a social aspect, but I'm not like standing in front of, you know, like hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that makes it a little bit easier.
Do you think it helps that you also aren't necessarily looking at them where it's like, you know, there is sort of the, you know, I think we all sort of feel a little bit more confidence when we're behind a screen and we're not having to necessarily look somebody in the eye or deal with like body language. And do you think that that's part of it too?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you're concentrating on the game as well. So it's not like you're just sitting there like giving a spiel, you know?
Yeah.
So that helps.
Yeah. And your husband's actually shown up on your stream as well. And he seems like a really great guy. And he's been extremely supportive, which is really, really dope.
Yeah. Oh, he's great.
Yeah. So the one question we always have to ask our lady guests that come on the show is, what has your experience been like as a lady Magic player?
That's a complicated question. I mean, I haven't had like the issues that some women have had for sure. Like my local game shop is amazing and everybody is like super supportive there. I mean, people come on Twitch sometimes and say like kind of rude comments or ask me to take my top off, which I deserve because my name looks like topless, I guess. Yeah, so I mean, I haven't had really bad experiences. Honestly, it's been really good and supportive for me, which I feel very lucky to have. I have a really good community on Twitch.
Yeah, you also belong to a streaming team or like a streaming group. Yeah, the Rogues Gallery?
Yes, and they're just a lovely group of people. I mean, we all do totally different things. There's a couple of us that focus on Limited, and then there's some that are really, really good at Modern, and it's just great to all support each other.
And you tend to focus on limited, yeah?
Yes, and I'm just cracking into standard, like today.
Oh my God, they grow up so fast.
Yeah.
Well, we are huge fans of yours, Jamie, and we're definitely going to have a segment on the show later where we're going to ask you for some advice on streaming, but let's go ahead and break into some other topics. Hallie!
Yes.
You were single-handedly responsible for Grand Prix Vancouver coverage.
Oh, not single-handedly, just all the written parts. But
that's still a lot of work.
Yeah, it was quite a bit of work. I was working late into the evening on Saturday and Sunday, but it was really rewarding, and I got to talk to some really cool people. I met Adrian Sullivan for the first time, who's really cool. I got to talk to Jerry Thompson again, who I haven't seen in a while, but apparently he just moved back to Seattle, so I may be seeing more of him soon. And I got to watch a lot of Death Shadow aggro matches, which seemed to be the thing to do this weekend, just playing Death Shadow. It was really weird. Everyone kind of came in on the first day saying, well, we're not sure what this format's all about. You know, I'm just going to try something, or I'm just going to play the deck that I've been playing for a couple years and, you know, see if it works. And then a bunch of pro players came in with this Death Shadow deck, and at the end of round 8, like, 3 of them were undefeated. And then those same 3 ended up in the top 8, so it was quite a weekend for those 3 guys.
Yeah, it was a combination of Jerry Thompson, Josh Utterleighton, and Sam Black, and Josh ended up winning the whole thing. And it's a really interesting deck. You know, I've seen rumblings of it for a while. You know, Death Shadow obviously was a thing when Gitaxian Probe was legal, but that deck focused more on things like Become Immense, you know, almost like a infectless infect deck, if you will. And this new version that we're seeing really maxes out on the Delirium aspect. It's a lot grindier. You're seeing the full 8 copies of discard spells like Inquisition and Thoughtseize. Traverse the Ulvenwald is really big here. I'm seeing Delirium as early as turn 2. It's almost a greedier mana base. They're running like 4 colors. Fatal Push is really big here. Only 1 copy of Temur Battle Rage, so they don't seem like they're going as all in on that plan as they used to. Right. And it seemed like this was the one thing I kept hearing all weekend was that it was really difficult to attack.
It was, because unlike the other deck, which you're right, like Infect, it was really all in. But this go around, it seems like they're really trying to have like a well-rounded removal suite to, you know, get blockers out of the way and then attack in with huge Death Shadows. They were playing Tarfire, to get the tribal, card type in their graveyard, which, Raptor admitted was possibly not the best choice, but, it was effective. It was definitely effective because you could always just like, you know, they were consistently making 6-7 Tarmogoyfs. And I think like the smallest Tarmogoyf I personally saw in the feature match area was like a 4-5, which is like an above average Tarmogoyf. So they definitely were onto something. And it was just really, it was like one of the most mana efficient decks that I've ever seen. Because so many of the threats and so many of the answers cost so little mana that, you know, like you said, Aaron, they could get Delirium as early as turn 4, and then they just spend 2 mana, or sorry, as early as turn 2. So they could spend 1 mana to traverse the Ulvenwald, get a Death Shadow, and then spend another black mana to cast it. And suddenly, you know, if you've, you know, fetched, shocked, cycled a Street Wraith and thought seized yourself, you're already at what, like, 13. So yeah, it's definitely a really strong deck.
Yeah, it runs only 18 lands, but 10 of those are fetches. 12 are fetches,
right? And that makes Fatal Push really good.
Yeah, so 12 of these are fetches, and there's also the toolbox element. You know, you mentioned Traverse, and it's like, when you look at the sideboard, for example, you see 1 copy of Ranger of Eos, you see 1 copy of Aether Sworn Canonist, 1 copy of Kataki. That makes the deck even more dangerous, because it can go from being, okay, we have 2 Death Shadow on the board, now we're going to go looking for things. And there's even one-offs like Goreclan Rampager. Like, if you really need to seal the deal, you go looking for that thing, and that's, there's just so many angles that this deck takes.
Yeah, it seemed really well-rounded, and it didn't seem like anyone was really prepared for it this weekend.
Absolutely. And it seems like it was a good weekend for women. There were 2 Lady Magic players who we featured on the show, Chantal and Jen, and I believe they finished 24th and 28th. which was fantastic. Very happy for them. And then you got to meet Saheeli.
I did, yeah. I didn't get her name. She actually didn't speak very much English, but she was really happy to be there. She had made her filigree armor all by herself, and it was really intricate. So I have a lot of admiration for people who are creative in that way, that they can, you know, fashion these costumes for themselves. And she was just really awesome. Like, people were happy to see her. I know, like, a couple judges were, like, geeking out over her costume. So, yeah, she was definitely a hit.
And meanwhile, in Australia, very different metagame. It almost feels like we were playing two different moderns. Dredge, speaking of banned decks making a comeback, Dredge, there were two copies in the top eight at in Brisbane. Lantern Control ended up winning the whole damn thing. And it was so fascinating to me that the Dredge deck didn't really have any spiciness to it. Like, it really looked like just an older list from back in June. There was really nothing I hadn't seen before, but it was in the hands of two pilots from MTG Mint Card, Zen Takahashi and Li Shitian, and they both did very well with it. And it just seems like Modern is incredibly diverse right now. You know, Chris, going into this weekend with you and I going to Indianapolis, you know, what do you think about all of this? What are you prepared for?
I usually don't worry about Death Shadow too much, so I'm ready for Death Shadow like no tomorrow. I know a lot of people are really excited about the build. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, this looks like really awesome, and they want to buy into it. I'm like, no, don't believe the hype. But looking at both top eights from Vancouver and from Brisbane, it looks like it could really be anything. And I like that. I like knowing that I could go up against just about anything, and I feel really good about this weekend. I would really rather not face Lantern Control. That would be fine with me if that never happened ever again. but we do what we can. So I'm really hoping that a lot of people don't like jump on that, especially people that don't know how to pilot it correctly, because that might just be a headache. But I feel good knowing that Modern is still very diverse, and that Standard is still stale. Because it just really is. And I was also happy that both Jen and Chantel were both on versions of Titan. And I was so very happy about that. I'm like, yes, that's so great. I'm very, very excited. So I'm working on my sideboard right now for Indy and trying to determine what we may or may not run into. And I'm also trying to play with using coursers in my deck, which I don't normally. So we'll see if I like that or if I don't. But I'm just ready to play.
Yeah, even though Titan didn't put any copies into the top eight, it was definitely one of the most popular decks that I saw in, you know, various builds, you know, various shades. And there were quite a few copies in, you know, the top 32. So I think it's definitely a strong deck to consider.
We're tier one now, I hear, so I'm kind of excited.
Seems like there's a lot of decks that are moving from tier two to tier one. Like, if we look at when Lantern Control broke out, like, it used to be like a tier three deck that, like, some random person at your local game store you'd see playing, and you'd just be like, what are you doing? And then you just kind of walk on by, and then all of a sudden it top eights, and, you know, now we have it in the top eight consistently, and, I don't know. I feel like we're seeing a lot more. I mean, Death Shadow is making top eight. I feel like there's just a lot of room for all decks of all flavors to come into Modern at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're seeing Baral Storm become a thing, another deck that people thought was going to stay down with the Gataxian Probe ban. It's now Gift Storm. Speaking of, there was a man on Jen's team, Jen Krotz's team. He goes by Mr. Frenchie on Magic Online. He has a slew of undefeated trophies with the deck. He finished, I think, 11-4. Yeah. He's been piloting that deck for a while. I'd love to have him on my stream to teach me. And, you know, I think that the lines between the tiers has become so blurred, and I think in a good way, but, you know, you brought up a really good point, Katie, where, like, you know, in a weekend, it can change. Whereas before, it used to take a lot for a deck to, you know, break through those boundaries. And now it just can happen overnight, where it's like, where did this deck come from? Oh, that's a thing now. People are using Tarfire now. Oh, okay. I guess I better get on that. You know, just wasn't something I really thought about.
like, even within the decks, I feel like there's a lot of expansion, too. Like, I saw a green black Tron, and I was just like, let's just play whatever colors we want. Like, it's fine. I mean, everybody else is doing it. We can do it, too.
So my takeaways for this weekend, I would tell people not to play a graveyard deck, because with Dredge making two top eights and with Death Shadow having a Delirium aspect and also riding, leaning really hard on Tarmogoyf, so I think Relic is going to be really good this weekend. Rest in Peace will be good this weekend. And so because of that, I really don't think Dredge is good this weekend. So it's rare coming from me, but I will not be taking Dredge because I don't want to deal with all of that. So don't play a graveyard deck this weekend, number one. Number two, it was really nice to see Goryeo's Vengeance bomb. I should rephrase that. It's not, I love the deck, but I was really worried that if it did well, it would put a light on Simeon Spirit Guide, which a lot of people have been begging to get banned. It was the deck that people were really predicting. There was this new version with Carrie Zev's Expertise and Breaking and Entering. And it's one of those things where, like, you like the deck, but you're just like, oh God, stay obscure. And same thing with Ad Nauseam. If it becomes too popular, you know, those cards have a spotlight on them. And so, you know, Goryeo's Vengeance proved how inconsistent it is. And it didn't seem like it did very well this weekend. So it does seem like it's safe. It seems like Simeon Spirit Guide is safe for another day. Which is a good thing. Cause if that card got banned, I really don't know what I would do. And the last thing I would take away from this weekend is Eldrazi Tron is a thing. Is a thing. I kind of scoffed at it for a while. Like, I was just like, so I used to jokingly call the deck Swedish Fish Oreo because it's just doing two different flavors where it's like, because it's like, well, you can be Eldrazi. Like, Eldrazi is still very much viable. Banned Eldrazi is still viable. Tron is still very much viable. Why are we combining them? Like, oh, okay. And so, it is a thing. It does have, it does remind me of the legacy Eldrazi decks with the four chalices, Endbringer, which hadn't seen a lot of modern play. It's very prison style, along with the Tron combo. It doesn't seem to run the Tron Planeswalkers though. Like, they typically run like a Karn. And so if you can just sort of deal with the creatures, I think you're fine. But it went from, you know, again, Katie mentioned there's that deck you kind of scoff at, and then the next thing you know, it's a thing. Eldrazi Tron is definitely a thing. And so I think it's something you definitely need to have a plan for, because before you know it, you're going to be staring down an Endbringer with a Basilisk collar on it, and you're not going to know what the hell to do. think about that. It's scary as hell.
not wrong.
Yeah. so Modern's in a really good place right now, overall. And Chris, you did your first stream recently.
I did.
How did it go?
It went good. I have to work on some sound issues, but I think I fixed them toward the end. I just kind of jumped on after work. I'm like, I'm going to do this. It's going to be Hood Stream. We're going to do it. It's going to be a good time. And I was kind of surprised that, like, right when I started, people were just like, we're here. And I'm like, who are you? And I got hosted, like, right away by someone. So I was like, oh, that's cool. So I was like, well, I'm going to play Mono Blue Tron because that's what I have built on Modo right now. And I kind of just fell right into it because I sometimes when I'm goldfishing, I talk to myself while I'm doing so. So I just kind of pretended that I was effectively talking to myself, like I was running myself through the plays and then trying to keep track of what chat was saying. And I kind of fucked up and I forgot that there's a delay. My bad. So I have to remember that for next time. But it was fun. I got to play four matches in a modern league. I got to play against someone from WotC. And that was when I became privy to the knowledge that apparently there's this Obzon aggro, like, Legless Walkers deck. I'm like, what is this? I'm like, I have never heard
Wait,
of this.
What?
So yeah. It's like, it's Obzon Affinity, basically.
Oh, Obzon Counters. Yeah. With Hangerback Walker and Hardened Scales?
Yep.
It was on Star City Games this weekend.
I was like, gross. So I was like, I've never heard of this. And someone in chat's like, oh, yeah, it's a thing. I'm like, link me after the game. I need to know more about this. So that was interesting because at first I was like, are we playing modern? Like, what's going on? I'm seeing, what was it? Snek. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, we're playing Traverse the Uvenwald. Okay. but it was fun. I want to say that I lost maybe out of three. That sounds probably correct. But it was a good time. I don't think I got to slaver lock anybody, but it was fun. I would definitely do it again. I actually had someone, when I was on my way home a little while ago, ask me if I would stream my mono black Aetherborn deck that I made for Standard, and I was like, oh, I'll have to price it out and see how much it is. It's like, it's $20. We can do this. That's that's like nothing. I'm glad I finally got OBS to work and do what I wanted to do, so I'm using my two monitors and trying to keep track. As long as it looks okay and people can see the cards, that's all I care about. If the rest is a little, like, hoopty, then that's fine. And so I had some music going, so I was, I had a Nirvana, Candlebox, and Tool playlist going
they
on.
They said Candlebox.
Like, oh. Yep, Candlebox. Shit, yeah. It's like 1994 all over again. So it was cool. So I'm going to try to get some nice music going while I'm streaming. So throw together some cool playlists. And everybody said it looked good. So I was, and I kept apologizing and be like, oh, we screwed that up. Sorry, fam. And they're like, it's all good. I'm just glad to be here. And I'm like, okay. So I guess all I need to do is be me. I didn't misclick anything, so I was happy about that. The only thing I kind of screwed up on was I'm not used to doing stuff with Spellskite on Modo. Mm. So I had to play versus Bay, and that was very sad. So someone was on Titan Shift. I'm like, no, why would you do this to me? It's like, I want to be playing this deck. I don't want to play against it. So I kept on trying to redirect damage. They're like, stop. It's already going to go on Spellskite. Stop burning yourself. I'm like, my bad. I don't know how this works. So, but it was a lot of fun. I am hoping to maybe later this week, maybe on Thursday-ish, try to stream again. It's going to be very, like, haphazard, depending on what I have going on. And if people like it, sweet. I'll try to get a more, quote-unquote, established schedule going on. But I definitely have a lot to learn, and I've had a lot of people ask me, like, how do I do this? I'm like, please just go watch Gabby's video. Be like, everything I need to know I learned from Gabby's farts. So there you go. But yeah, it was pretty sweet. I'd like to have people on like you do sometimes, Aaron, and see how that goes. But yeah, I could definitely see myself doing it again. I wasn't really freaked out like I thought I was going to be. I'm like, okay, we just have to remember not to like burp, fart, or pick our nose on stream and we'll be good. So I was good.
Yeah, because Twitch has this interesting feature called clipping. And so like any dumb thing you do can basically be immortalized. And it's just like, oh no. And so
oh goody.
Yeah, I haven't had anything terribly embarrassing, but like, there have been like funny moments that people have clipped. And so that makes you a little more cognizant of what you're doing, is knowing that anybody can. Yeah, there was one day I was talking about Mrs. Mulligan in a good way. Like I was on the subject of her, and I was like, oh, she's so great and she's so fierce. And her husband like clipped it. And all of a sudden she was like, oh, Aaron, thank you so much for the kind words. And I was like, I don't actually know what I said. And then you have this thing called My Clips. And I saw that Carrick Long made a clip, and I'm like, oof. It's a good thing it was compliments, because, oh, God. So, yeah, don't say anything dumb on Twitch, because it will live forever.
That's what I hear.
So, Jamie, Chris touched on something that I think is probably the most polarizing question that I see people asking when it comes to streams. Music or no music? And where do you stand on that?
Well, so you just have to know if you put music on, it's going to get muted on Twitch. So yeah. That's a huge thing if you want to have people watch your playbacks.
Okay, and do you find that you have you had you tend to play music, yeah?
I haven't lately, which maybe I should. Mm-hmm. It helps the rage stay low.
And has that been something that's like impeded you? Like, have your viewers said like, I really wanted to watch this, and you played music, and that was a bummer?
Well, so I feel like people. I've had. Okay, so some people will be like, "Oh, I hate this song, change it," and then some people will be like, "I love this song," and other people would be like, I'd rather listen to my own music, you know? So just, or, and then, I don't know. It's like, you gotta do you. If you want music, have music. If you don't want music, don't do it.
Yeah. I guess it depends on like the kind of stream you're going for too, where it's like, you know, if you're kind of doing it like Chris does, where you're just sort of here to have fun and you're here to play, you know, and you, I'm trying to think how to word this. You're not necessarily trying to teach people, if that makes any sense. Like, you know, if Jeff Hoagland streams, he's obviously teaching you how to do something. You're watching him practice. You know, you're trying to learn something. And so that's not to say that you can't learn something from one of us, but the goal for us is just sort of to have fun. And so, you know, I think at that point, the music is fine. You know, I think some people play better without music. Yeah, I think the thing I've learned so far in the short time that I've been streaming is, like you said, Jamie, you really just have to do you, because it seems like it's very easy to get lost in kind of catering to people, where it's like, well, what music do you want to hear and what deck do you want me to play? And before you know it, you're not even doing anything you want to do. And so I think, you know, you definitely have to kind of put a boundary up of, this is what I want to do. And if you enjoy it, you're welcome to hang out, but I can't just do it for everybody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah. And so, you know, we all kind of, you know, the four of us have been, you know, we're novice to intermediate streamers, I think. And I think we're all looking to get better. So, you know, while we have Jamie here, are there any questions we want to ask her to get some advice?
I have questions.
Ooh, okay.
How do you keep, like, your audience entertained? Like, a lot of times I feel like I'm just kind of talking to an empty room, especially if it's not like a talkative group, or, you know, everybody's just kind of like hanging out but not saying a bunch. Do you just talk to yourself and hope it's like entertaining, or like, how do you kind of keep them engaged on that level?
Well, so I try to like say hi when people come in and ask them how they're doing and try to like build a community. I feel like that's really important. But you're right. Sometimes it's just quiet. So sometimes I'll be like, okay, guys, you're being quiet, so I'm just going to talk to myself, you know, and, just try to engage in the game more. When you make a punt, acknowledge the punt. And people will acknowledge the punt with you. And yeah, that's my advice. Yeah. Punt a lot. That's helpful.
I usually smack myself in the forehead when I punt, and chat seems to enjoy that.
I saw you fighting the air the other night, Jamie. That was like the best thing ever.
Yeah, that was clipped too. So yeah, you gotta watch out. Oh, they did. Yeah, I had a moment. That was the night my opponent slow rolled me, and they played Shock. Like, after they did other stuff, I'm like, you could have killed me like a million minutes ago. And then I just had some swearing, and yeah, I'm working on it. People who can stay calm, like when something like that happens, I just really admire that. I'm working on that.
Yeah. And that's actually one of the things I wanted to ask you about, is how do you deal with either losing on camera or just being in an embarrassing situation? Because I know with me, I tend to, you know, let's say you're streaming a league and the league doesn't go well. Like, I know the first night that I took Grishelbrand out, I went 1-4, and I felt like, I heard, like, the horror movie Carrie, I just heard that voice in my head of, they're all going to laugh at you. And so, you know, when you make a mistake and you're by yourself, you know, no one's watching you and you don't really feel like you have to play for anybody. But, you know, when you have 40 or 50 people in your chat and you make a mistake or you're doing horribly, I have a really hard time. And it's not necessarily that I'm lashing out, but I just kind of I fold into myself and I get really quiet and I get really flushed. And how do you deal with that?
Just make a lot of mistakes.
Just have it be what you're known for, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody makes mistakes. Pros make mistakes, you know? Like, you can't be perfect. And that's something that I struggle with, because, I mean, I want to play the best I can. But, you know, like, when you're streaming, like, it's tough to juggle streaming and chatting and doing all those things. Modo's like not the easiest program to, you know, navigate by itself. So when you add all those things together, you're going to mess up. So you have to just say, okay, I'm going to make mistakes. And if you have the feels from the mistakes, that's okay. Cause I think people appreciate that. Like, they know you're human. So forgive yourself, you know?
Just have a very kumbaya moment where you're like, I forgive myself. And chat's like, who are you talking to? Like, just
you're like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's okay. You can. Yeah. I do that all the time. I'll be like, okay, shh. And I'll like, sometimes I forget to breathe when I'm streaming. So I'm like, okay, take a deep breath. That helps sometimes. I mean, sometimes you're going to get angry, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a hashtag on my stream. It's an unofficial hashtag, hashtag fuck Thalia. Because I'm never happy to see Thalia. So whenever a Thalia of any shade hits the board, it's like, fuck that card. And so, and chat knows, I'll do hashtag fuck Thalia because they know I hate that card. And so, yeah, awesome. You know, I really related to what you said about building a community, Jamie, and, you know, having slang that like your chat understands or having moments that they know they'll find really funny or like, you know, things they can talk to you about. And that's one of the surprises that I found with streaming is sort of that little petri dish that you cultivated of, you know, these are, I don't want to say my people necessarily, but you know, you kind of know who's in your chat. You know how they operate and they know how you operate. And it really is just fascinating. Like it's just so more, so much more personal than I imagined when I started it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've made some of my best friends from streaming. Like it's kind of crazy.
And you see people meeting their partners, like Athena and Info, yeah. I heard met on Twitch, and Ian and his girlfriend. And it's like, what am I doing wrong? Like,
you'll get there, Aaron. Don't worry.
I guess the other question I had for you too, Jamie, is how do you deal with the, you recently did a 24-hour stream, yeah?
Yeah, it was my second one.
Yeah. How do you deal with the endurance factor? Because like I've gotten to the point where like I can stream a league, you know, so 2 hours of streaming is fine. I can go for like 3 or 4, but like when it comes to the challenges that I really like to do, they have the Legacy Challenge and the Power 9 Challenge. Those can go for like 7 or 8 rounds. And by the time that's over, I'm just so stir crazy where like I don't even want to look at the four walls of my apartment. Like how do you get to that point where you can do 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours? How do you do that?
I think it's one of my weird skills. Like I don't have to sleep, but when I do sleep, I sleep a lot.
Okay.
So I don't know. Like, it's just weird. Like for 24 hours, I feel like I don't feel it until the last hour. And then I'm like, okay, this has to be over. Like some people go longer than that. I don't get it.
Oh yeah.
I think one of my tips is drink a lot of water. So you have to get up to pee. Cause that's like helpful just to move around, you know,
just like force you to do it.
Yeah. And then like, so also if I had punts, I would make myself do push-ups. And I feel like that helped me get through.
Wow.
Just to stay active. Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah. I have to remind myself of that too. Like I have to actively take bathroom breaks and just remind myself that that's a thing. And that's a really good way to look at it.
Just keep moving.
Do you have viewers for all 24 hours? I mean, you'd think at like 4 or 5 a.m. somebody... Like, you just be there alone, like, looking at an empty chat. Does that happen?
No. Yeah. I've had people that stay the whole time, which is insane and awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. There is somebody – that's the other fascinating thing I learned is that there is always an audience out there. You know, when you think about time zones and you think about jobs and how, you know, a lot of people can have streams in the background. And it's like – I remember I did a legacy stream at like 12:30 in the morning. And it was just something where I had taken a nap and it kind of torpedoed my sleep schedule. And I just did it for the hell of doing it. And I think I had like the most viewers I'd ever had. And I was just like, how is this possible? And so – yeah, there's always an audience out there. Like it's mind blowing. Even Gabby, you know, when Gabby would do her morning streams, you would see her with like her bowl of cereal and her version of a bad hair day, which of course means she looks fantastic, but it's Gabby, mm-hmm. You know, so she's sitting there 8 a.m. and she's got 200 people watching her draft. Like it really is incredible.
And do you have any like, do you do like stream giveaways or like how do you spice up your stream or your overlay or anything to just kind of change it up every once in a while?
I'm actually so not a technical person. I make my husband do all that stuff. So, and he's like really good at it. You know, we like help each other out. That's what you can do when you're married. It's kind of cool. I make him do the things I don't want to do and vice versa. Like he makes me find things around the house. That's like my skill.
You are so talented. You find things. You don't need to sleep. I mean, just you're like a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, something like that. I just started doing giveaways. I actually just got sponsored. So that was like huge. So that's like been really helpful. Yeah. Yeah. It's been great. So they've given me stuff to give away and it's really fun. It's a good group of people. So.
I think the last thing I wanted to ask you is how do you deal with negativity in chat? Like I admit I tend to be kind of trigger happy where if I see anybody that's like remotely shady, I just deal with it. And I know that some people have different thresholds for that. And you know, sometimes you get that one person who like consistently tries to tell you what to do where it's like, you need to make this line. And you're like, no, I'm going to go with, no, you should do this line. And you tell them multiple times, like, this is what I'm going to do. You know, what is sort of your threshold and how do you deal with that? Cause I admit I'm not the best.
I state this all the time. Like one of my pet peeves is when somebody like states their opinion as fact. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, or you know, whoever you are, stop, calm down. Like, there's different ways to do this, you know, and this is the way I'm going to do. And I acknowledge that there's multiple lines and I appreciate opinions. Like, I do. I want to hear feedback and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm the pilot. Get over it.
I'm the pilot now.
Yeah. I mean, and it's so funny because I've had some people, like, I've had trolls, right? And one of my favorite viewers now was like a longtime troll, and all of a sudden they just became super nice. And I'm like, wow, okay.
Wow.
So you never know.
You don't hear that often.
Yeah, I'd like your trolls. I get the trolls that like make multiple names just with different numbers at the end. And I'm always flattered by that because in my mind, it's like, you are taking time out of your night to make usernames to be shitty to me. That means a lot. Like, you could be doing anything else and that's what you're doing with your night. Thank you so damn much. And so I need your trolls, clearly.
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning, I feel like I had more, but then after a while, you get like really good mods and people just take care of you, you know, and they kind of support you and tell you like, it's okay. Don't listen to them.
Do you think that the trolls kind of lightened up on you a little bit too because you sort of proved yourself, so to speak? And we kind of talked about this when Emma was on the show, and it's like, you know, women sometimes have a higher threshold of like, you know, when they first see you, they kind of automatically assume that like, you don't really know what you're doing or you're just sort of doing it for the lulz. But then when you're undeniably successful, like when you have 1400 followers, when you're doing well in these drafts, you know, when you're proving that you can do 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 hour streams, you know, do you think that that's sort of when away once you kind of proved yourself?
Oh gosh, I still feel like I am proving myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, for sure. Like in the beginning, like people were like, oh, is she serious? Like, what's she doing? You know? For sure. Yeah. I think that's a big thing with women. Absolutely. And there's just not that many women streamers right now for Magic, right?
Yeah.
So there's like a weird pressure to it because you want to represent. You want to be, I don't know, a good person. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I put a lot of pressure on myself. I don't know if you guys can tell that.
Well, we've talked about, you know, throughout the course of the show, we've talked about what we call the mantle that a lot of women wear, where it's like, you not only feel like you have to be good for yourself, but you do feel like you have this responsibility where like, if you make a misplay, you feel like you've failed, you know, your whole gender. You feel like you've failed your whole species. And that's something a lot of dudes don't really worry about. You know, they can make a mistake and doesn't mean anything, but I think we've all experienced that, you know, the four of us, where we felt that burden of like, I have to be good for everybody. And if I'm not, I've ruined it for everybody and it's all my fault. And it's a really heavy burden. And I think it manifests in different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So was there anything else on our minds before we wrap up the show?
So I received not quite as many entries as I would have hoped for my No Fear Challenge, but that is okay because I did have some really, really awesome responses to the challenge. So the three people that will be receiving a care package from me are Dante, Chantel, and Alex. And I am really happy that the challenge did bring two of those people back into Magic, or had them look at Magic differently, or they learned something about themselves. And I think that that's really awesome. So I will be getting those things out to you as soon as I can. And I'm just really happy that you guys were able to participate and everything. And even, I know a lot of people sent me messages saying, oh, I missed the deadline, or I couldn't get a deck together in time, or all these things. Screw it. Send me a report. I want to know whenever you make a deck, whenever you challenge yourself with something, I want you to email me and tell me, you know, about your experience. Because if something like this gets you to play a deck that was out of your comfort zone or gets you to do something different, I think that's really awesome. And I think that's really important. And just from reading the reports that I did get, I think that it is awesome that something that I suggested got these people to look at something a different way or to try something different. So please do email me reports from time to time or let me know how it's going piloting a deck, because I really do like reading what you do send me. So like I said, as soon as I can, I will get everything out to the three people that did win something, and I hope to have something interesting in the future on my blog for people to participate in.
Very cool.
I have something. I tried streaming Overwatch for the first time this last week. And while I invited Erin to stream with me, she was too busy doing fun other things on stream without me. But I watched a few like other Overwatch streamers and kind of saw what they did and then tried to replicate that in my way. And some of my viewers helped me work through, some frame rate lag that they were getting on their end that I didn't, you know existed because I can't see it. And I think that I'm going to try and put together a playlist because it, as fun as Overwatch music is to listen to, it's only fun if you're the person playing so you don't just get, like, shot in the back of the head. and for everybody else, it's just like, is she going to die or is she not? So I'm going to be putting together a playlist for that and probably streaming some more Overwatch soon. So I know Hallie was semi-interested in it, and so was Erin. But if anybody would like to join me on Overwatch for some streaming fun, just let me know.
Hallie, you have Overwatch?
Robert does, so I guess I could always play on his account unless he cares about his rating, which I'm sure he does.
we could be a squad.
We could be a squad. Squad goals. Yeah. I keep trying to convince Hallie, like, just subtly, like, she was like, do you want to play with Robert? And I was like, Hallie, we could play without Robert.
Well, I suggested that Robert play with you because he's actually really good at Overwatch, and I thought he would be more helpful than me since I have no idea what I'm doing.
You can learn. It'll be so fun.
Okay. Well, only if I can play Mercy because
that's fine.
I don't like shooting people, but I wouldn't mind healing people.
But you can do both. There's a lady named Anna who shoots people with darts that heals them.
Huh.
There you go.
Okay, I can get down with that.
there's endless possibilities. Like 22 endless.
There's a healer on roller skates too. You can roller skate and just by being around people you heal them.
That's cool.
And he likes music. He pumps up the jams.
You like jams, Hallie.
Is that Lucio?
Yeah.
Is he the guy who shoots sound waves at people?
Yeah.
Okay, I could do him. I could be him.
I call him Luigi-O.
Luigi-O.
So you could be my Luigi-O.
Does he give people side eye?
I feel like he does. He always says really snarky comments.
So this weekend, Chris and I will be at GP or SCG Indianapolis. So if you're in the area and you're at the event, come say hi to us. We'll have stickers and hugs and things of that nature. We also have a really, really dope cabin. Which I'm really, really excited about. And then, we are also participating in a streamer showdown on Thursday. So by the time this episode comes out, you can watch the video on demand from our Twitch page, twitch.tv/thegfbracket. What are we even drafting? Is it just either Revolt?
I think it's a standard throwback to the 90s.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. So, if you didn't catch it, be sure to watch it on our Twitch page. And, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So Jamie, thank you so much for coming on the show. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you if they'd like to know more about you or follow you?
I'm on Twitch as Jamie Topples. Topples, not topless. And I don't actually have a set schedule at this point, but I pretty much stream every day. So follow me, set the notification, hang out, have fun.
Are you on Twitch or Facebook or Snapchat, anything else?
Oh, I'm on Twitter as Jamie Topples as well.
Yeah. We follow you. It's a good time. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. Like I said, we enjoy watching you so much. And like I said, I would love to maybe have you on my stream sometime so you could teach me how to draft. And, you know, I would just love to be able to work with you at some point in the future, even meet you sometime. So if you're ever on your way to a GP or an Open, are you going to Vegas?
Yes, for the Limited.
We will have to meet you in Vegas then.
Yes.
And if anybody's enjoyed listening to the show, how can they find you all and how can they get a hold of you?
So I'm Hallie. You can find me on Twitter at HalCanSan. That's HalCanSan. You can also find me on Instagram and Snapchat, also at HalCanSan. And if you'd like to see what I did this past weekend, you could follow the Magic Pro Tour account. That's at Magic Pro Tour. And check out the coverage on Daily MTG.
And I'm Katie. You can find me on Twitter at Mean Mugger. That's MeanMugger. Or on Twitch, twitch.tv/MeanMuggerMTG. Although we are exploring Overwatch, and I will convince other people to play with me.
And I'm Chris. My Twitter is at THKRIZ. My Gmail is yothkriz@gmail.com. My blog is backtablesmtg.wordpress.com. I am working on a new blog post. I will try to get it out as soon as I can, but I think it would be a good read for the community to partake in. And my Twitch account is twitch.tv/tokriz. I'm on Snapchat, CryptoCommand with K's. And yeah, I think that's it.
And I'm Erin. You can find me on Twitter at OriginalAstrus. That's OriginalAstrus. You can email me at OriginalAstrus@gmail.com. Twitch.tv/OriginalAstrus. I'll be streaming every Tuesday and Thursday when I can. You can find the show on Twitter at @TheGFBracket. You can also email us at TheGirlfriendBracket@gmail.com. And we still come out every Friday at GatheringMagic.com. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.